Many people now in their 40s and 50s grew up before the dawn of the digital age, and some don't think they're missing anything. Digital Generations, our series on how different age groups are coming to terms with technology, continues today with a report from NPR's Elizabeth Blair on one man who has no interest in technology and who is suspicious of its benefits.
David Henley is a young-looking 53-year-old artist, medium build, sandy brown hair and blue eyes. He walks with a noticeable limp, the result of an experience that profoundly affected his view of the world. He's a potter and painter with studios in New York City and his home in New Jersey. He's an art therapist, more on that in a minute, and he teaches at Long Island University on the CW Post campus.
So what I'm going to do today is to introduce the Jungian idea to you from a little bit of a different perspective.
Henley spends his days with the generation raised on computers, yet he knows almost nothing about them.
My daughter feels as though I'm hopelessly out of it and selectively incompetent.
I did set him up once with my old computer, and
that's Henley's 28-year-old daughter, Kimberly Melito, who lives in Phoenix.
And I'm trying to explain over the phone how to open a file and how to save a file and, you know, right-click on your mouse. And he hated the fact that it was called a mouse, that the computer was given a name of something that was real.
David Henley says he was so annoyed he literally kicked the computer off the back porch and to this day disdains his university email account.
I'm interested in not subscribing to every single thing that media feeds to me.
Henley's aversion to technology comes from the fact that when he was 17, he almost died. In high school, in the late 1960s, Henley was an athlete, a star wrestler, until he contracted a virus called Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Guillain-Barré is similar to polio in that it attacks your nervous system, and your body defends against the virus by growing this sheath over your nerves. So you actually become paralyzed by virtue of defending against the virus. It takes about a year or two to wear that sheath off after the virus is gone, so the rehab is a very slow and arduous process.
Without the use of his limbs, frustrated and bored in his hospital bed, Henley asked one of the nurses to bring him a felt-tip pen, which he put in his mouth.
I had just enough neck muscles to bounce off a thick pillow, and that felt-tip pen would register a mark with almost no pressure on it. It took me weeks to figure that whole process out. And once I did, I just began to bounce my head off that pillow and make marks.
And ultimately, images, with the help of a specially positioned pad. Henley believes the process helped him recover. In the years following his release from the hospital, he says he did everything fast, got married, had two kids, even built a home from scratch with his wife in Vermont. Today, many years later, he's a respected art therapist, helping his clients make art as part of the healing process. Henley's mentor, 88-year-old Edith Kramer, is a pioneer in the field. And like Henley, she's a purist.
I mean, there's something that goes from your mind through your body into your hand, and this is a very important flow. And if this is interrupted and all you make decisions, something very important is left out.
Kramer and Henley are fervent about the tactile connection between the mind and the material. Computers, they say, make creating too easy. The click of a mouse is not as challenging as when the clay pushes back.
So what are you going to draw today?
I'm going to draw a revamped character I'm working on.
David Henley and Alex, one of his clients, allowed NPR to observe one of their sessions. Henley says Alex, now 19, sustained various traumas as a child and struggles to control his moods. Alex begins with a blank page and during the session draws a gorgeous, meticulously rendered fantasy figure, half man, half monster.
What is his name? Azeroth. But his nickname's Oz. His deal is he was the chosen of darkness. He was Lucifer's chosen.
Alex is practically a poster boy for Henley's contention that computers atrophy the imagination. Henley says when he first met Alex 7 years ago, the then 12-year-old was nearly addicted to video games. Even Alex admits he played them a lot.
I've always been really intense, and because of that, it's just getting a girlfriend or a real wide social group just wasn't much of an option for me, so I kind of escaped into there.
Now, in therapy, Alex is creating his own worlds and talking about how they relate to his life. Today, he's an undergrad at New York University, and his interests have broadened. But David Henley says he sees new Alexes every day.
Their imaginations at this point in time have become dependent upon having the technology do the imagining for them. It becomes a replacement for the imagination and even a replacement for social relationships.
Many art therapists agree with Henley this far, but they part ways when it comes to his total anti-tech stance. Kathy Malchiotti of the American Art Therapy Association says there are a lot of obvious ways technology can help bedridden children.
There have been examples across the country, programs where children who have had similar experiences with cancer, they've been able to do work bedside and then send that image to somebody across the country who also has cancer.
David Henley may belong to the last generation that can afford to turn its back on technology, and even he can't avoid it altogether. It took some doing, but he eventually saw emailed digital photos of his new granddaughter, Leah. Her generation will inevitably take technology even further. Her mother, Kimberly Melito, has already seen the signs.
I noticed in starting Leah watching Sesame Street that Elmo now gets email. And that's part of the Sesame Street deal, is that he gets an email every single morning. So I think it's just become a part of us now, and our kids that we raise, that's going to be the norm.
And to that, David Henley offers up the one technological innovation he likes, the mute button. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
Our Digital Generation series concludes tomorrow with a look at how some older Americans are using computers. Reports on this week-long series are at npr.org.